This is Ozarks at Large for Monday, December 21st, 2020. I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks for tuning in. From adults to children, the pandemic is leading more people to seek out mental health services. Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek takes a look at the impact the health crisis is having on students who are learning virtually, in person, and every other way in between.
On several occasions throughout this pandemic, we turned to social media to find out how it's been impacting people's lives. This topic was no different, and so many of you were willing to share your experiences. We spoke with parents like Amy, who has two children, a son in sixth grade and a daughter in second.
My sixth grader is doing virtual learning through his school that I am facilitating here at home. My second grader is doing homeschool with the assistance of a very small homeschool pod.
Her son, Amy says, had already been struggling with a generalized anxiety disorder before the pandemic.
On top of the increased anxiety that I always notice in him, he's getting sad, and not just sad, but depressed. And my 11-year-old was talking about not wanting to live anymore. And that's not something I ever thought I would be dealing with.
Amy's son is doing better now, but while she'd like to send him back to school, her daughter has severe health issues that won't allow it.
She's had open heart surgeries. She has a genetic syndrome. I am locked down. We have not been anywhere since March. We're trying to be safe to protect her health.
We also spoke with Holly Woods and her second grade daughter, who she describes as outgoing and social.
So I feel like I've noticed her missing her friends, and she doesn't express.
I'm not missing them.
You're not missing them?
No.
Well, how would you explain it?
My normal life buried in a hole.
Your normal life buried in a hole.
Woods says she ran two small businesses that immediately dropped off at the start of the pandemic.
I was lucky and was able to get a PPP loan, and that kept me afloat until November. But currently, I mean, I had to ask for help with paying rent, and I can't consistently make enough to pay for all of my bills.
As a type 1 diabetic and breast cancer survivor, Woods is also at higher risk for complications from the coronavirus. So her daughter only attends school in person 2 days a week.
And so she is affected by my stress, because parents are under so much stress with the school. And I know that that's impacting her. She's been, honestly, I feel like really very mature and understanding for an 8-year-old. Pretty impressed with you, kiddo.
And although she's had support from a therapist for some time, Wood says her daughter isn't always willing to talk about how she's feeling.
She's a shover. Shoves that down.
In another part of Arkansas, Lindsay, who is also a mom to a daughter, can relate.
This is somebody who does not historically, and because of her age as well, identify her emotions and are able to express them accurately. When my daughter said, "I am depressed and I am lonely," I knew that was it.
Lindsay says her daughter's mental health and lack of interest in school is what drove her decision to leave the school district for a homeschool curriculum.
Homeschooling is working better, period, but it's working 10,000 times better than trying to public school under pandemic circumstances.
Lindsay has also plugged her daughter into different communities that host virtual events and introduced a small group of friends into their bubble.
One of her friends goes to a different school district and they have virtual Mondays. So every Monday we do a masked play date.
Caitlin Moses, whose daughter attends school virtually, has also limited who her family interacts with after she recently found out she was pregnant.
It's kind of like a frog in boiling water, I guess is how I would, you don't necessarily notice it at first, you know, they're acting normal, but then all of a sudden, you know, our daughter is really, really well behaved. She's always been a great kid, and, you know, but she was starting to throw little tantrums and, you know, just upset and wanting to spend time alone in her room, which she had never done before. And so her behavior had just started to change a little bit.
And although she's discussed the pandemic with her daughter, it can still be frustrating for her.
There have been several times where she's just expressed, you know, I'm tired of COVID. I hate it. I hate not getting to go anywhere. I want to go to Silver Dollar City. I want to go on vacation. I miss my friends. I want to be back in school. I mean, she's had several just sobbing, crying moments before she goes to sleep because she just And kids, you know, they always say it, and it's totally true that kids are resilient. But after a year almost of this, it still sometimes hits her like, I can't believe this is what my life has been like for the past 9 months, and I'm so tired of it.
Joy Carmine, who works as an elementary school counselor at a district south of Fort Smith, says she's also noticed an increase in unusual behavior from younger students.
The younger ones are having stress, and it's coming out in a strange behavior. We kind of have that all the time, but not like it's been more pronounced. I would say any of the kids that have any kind of problem, it's more pronounced, all of it.
She says the pandemic is also impacting students physically.
It's like they're in a fog. And a class I was in this morning, I see a lot of kids looking very sleepy and tired, and of course, more than normal.
Carmine School District is one of nearly 20 that have lost a staff member to the coronavirus.
I checked on the other secretary who sits next to the empty chair, because they're not hiring till after the first of the year out of respect. She told me that today twice she just looked over there and tears came down. I mean, she didn't lose it, but we're all feeling those moments, which is natural.
Meanwhile, at a school district in the Arkansas River Valley, a high school teacher we're calling Emily says older children are struggling too, especially those students who are nearing graduation.
I don't have a student in high school personally, but I know that the anxiety and stress that these kids are feeling is off the charts. And part of that is because they are experiencing the pandemic through us and we are freaking out.
Some students are coping fine, but others, Emily says, have been hard to reach.
What am I not doing for these kids that they're not getting it? And, you know, for me, it has come back to relationship building, which is the core of successful learning and teaching. And I've had to constantly refocus, you know, my attention. I need to ask these kids, how are you doing? What's going on? You know, what's going on in your home life? Are you working? Like, how can I help you in this area first, which is the social emotional learning piece? Because if we don't have that, the learning doesn't even happen.
Emily attributes the lack of engagement to students being unprepared for the amount of technology they'd be using this year, as well as some decisions made by the school district when schools shut down in March.
In the springtime, they froze grades and stuff kind of didn't matter, you know, and so that kind of set us up for a little bit of failure here in the fall. Once you have it one way, it's really hard to switch people to the harder way.
Which is why she adds she's changed the expectations she has for her students, at least for the duration of the pandemic.
I mean, that's all it is. It's just a hoop you have to jump through. At this stage in the game, I'm not grading these kids on, are you a great artist? Do you have these art skills? Do you have this technique down? It's really, are you able to jump through this hoop that we have presented for you so that you can get to the next step?
Rita Cruz Collins, who is a licensed clinical social worker and a mom, says her son is also catching up on schoolwork after struggling with it earlier in the year.
Part of the struggle has been I've put a lot of it in his court because he's older, but then there were some struggles and he didn't want to add stress to it. So he didn't talk about the struggles. And so now we are playing crazy catch up.
Cruz Collins has been seeing both teachers and students as clients during the pandemic. And she says both groups are suffering different levels of anxiety and depression.
I have never made so many referrals for medication in my entire career as I currently am right now.
She says a lot of that is related to the uncertainty the pandemic and other major events like the racial justice protests and presidential election are causing in people's everyday lives.
So we find this normal, but then there's a plot twist. And then we find the normal again, and then there's a plot twist. And it's like you can never get to the normal because things are always changing.
Like Cruz Collins, therapist and mom Amber Jackson says she's also noticed increased interest in people seeking out mental health services.
You know, 10 plus calls per week for new clients, that's not normal.
Since her husband is a teacher, Jackson says they decided to limit their chances for exposure to COVID-19 by keeping her son at home, which has impacted some of his grades.
That first couple weeks, we were like, yeah, we got this. And then third, fourth week, it was like, oh, we don't got this.
Jackson says right now is a good time to detach from our normal attachments to identity and achievement.
So a lot of, you know, what I've been working with my children and myself, right? Because we're all struggling with like, I'm no longer able to do this thing, which is where I would get, you know, part of my identity met. So being able to sort of, you know, reframe for children, you know, like this is, you know, because you didn't get, you're behind 10 assignments. What does that say about you? Does that mean that you're lazy, right? Does that mean that you don't care? And so we have to reframe that.
And while the pandemic will abate eventually, Vicki Collett, an associate professor in the Department of Curriculum and Instruction at the University of Arkansas, is concerned about its lasting impacts.
For adolescents, social connection is their main way of learning. Like that is their important trajectory for development. And so to be denied that has really significant implications for their, not only their social emotional learning, but also their academic learning and just their identity formation as well.
Collett says the changes made in classrooms to create a safer environment for students and staff are also having an impact on learning, as social distancing, masks, and plexiglass dividers are minimizing opportunities for differentiated instruction.
So I'm concerned about the implications of those changes, the long-term implications. I don't think this is something that's going to be fixed by the end of 2021, if you could think of, you know, fixing such a thing.
Everyone we spoke with was in agreement that dealing with a mental health issue starts with talking about it. Psychologist Jean Deveni says the Stay Positive Arkansas Crisis Counseling Program aims to make that more accessible.
So this is a statewide crisis counseling program. It's facilitated through the Arkansas Department of Human Services. And together they have partnered with, I believe, 14 or 15 agencies across the state. And our goal is to provide free, anonymous emotional support for all Arkansans affected by the pandemic, which is pretty much all of us at this point. And if anyone needs to get connected to local resources or assistance, we are here to provide guidance as well.
To get assistance through the Stay Positive Arkansas Crisis Counseling Program, you can go to their website at staypositivearkansas.com or call the statewide phone number 833-993-2382. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Zuzana Sitek.
Another note for your Monday. Though Congress has yet to vote on the latest pandemic stimulus package, it does include something tens of thousands of Pacific Islanders have been advocating for 25 years, the restoration of Medicaid benefits to Compact of Free Association migrants, which includes people from the Marshall Islands. The policy change revises a drafting mistake in the 1996 Welfare Reform Bill that barred islanders, like those living in Northwest Arkansas, from the program. We'll have much more on what this means for the local Marshallese community on an Ozarks at Large after the new year.